friends. Welcome back to The Schwitz. I'm Ben at Boy With No Job, and I'm here with Jack at Jack Not John and Victor at VWeb. And today we're talking about some college football week five, our Heisman watch, doing some spread pick'ems, a little NBA action. The NBA's right around the corner. Can't fucking wait. And of course, the MLB playoffs. Beginning with college football, Clemson survives in Chapel Hill. What a fucking game. Boys, reactions. They go for two. This is 21-20. Do we think that it was the right move going for two to win against Clemson?
I think Mac Brown shows a lot of balls. You know, he's old. He's big shown saggy his saggy balls. But, you know, it takes nuts. You're at home and go for two. I didn't like what they drew up there. Sam Howell out there looking like Luke May, the power forward for the basketball team, and just sending him right up the gut. I don't think it's the move. You and I were actually on the phone. Remember, I made a wrong turn like in Jersey City. I told you I was getting nervous.
Sounded like you were like at the bottom of a lake.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't hear you at all.
You're like, are you underwater? I'm like, nope, this isn't a duck tour. I'm in the car.
Vic was in Ibiza.
Yeah, Vic was raging. But afterwards I said
far from it.
I said take the extra point, but obviously hindsight is 20-20.
That's not what you said. You said if you have a chance to win, go in there and win. You said it's Clemson, and I said take the extra point because they're playing such good defense.
I know.
Why not?
But that was because of the play call. I said take the I think you got to you got number 1 on their heels. You see the
very nice.
And I think you go for it. I mean, you got the momentum at home. I mean, just do it. You really have nothing to lose. They showed a lot of heart out there, and I could see why this team beat my Miami Hurricanes.
No, I don't really have a problem with it, and this is Mac Brown. He's been doing it in the business probably longer than anybody that's coaching college football right
Love
now.
That.
And yeah, I mean, you got the number 1 team. You're unranked. You got them at home. You've spent 59 minutes in an absolute slugfest. I mean, the defense really buckled down for them, especially when Clemson was knocking on the door a few times. They forced a fumble in the first half, which was really as Clemson was about to, I think, go up at that. But they could have made it 14-7, I think, at that point. And they were on the move, and you're like, okay, here they go. Like, they're about to show you why they were favored by 27 points. We didn't get that. You know, my only thinking is that, you know, the quarterback for UNC, Sam Howell, is a freshman.
Yep.
And I don't think you really want freshmen in overtime against the number 1 team in the country. Clemson had beat Alabama last year in the national championship. You can't forget that. The experience is there, even though Trevor Lawrence is young and could stay another year after this. I'm not sure if he will. But I think Mac Brown knew what he had. He knew what he had. He knew what he had in his cards. It's cards that were dealt to him. Checked it. Checked the blinds. Checked
nice
the
card.
Checked the turn. Nice he got the river card, record. And he was like, you know what? Let's go for it. So I don't really have a problem.
I have a problem with the play call, an option quarterback run to the outside against a Clemson number 1.
By the way, did you notice that the receiver picks up the fumble, actually tried to throw the ball?
Yeah,
it was the funniest ending to a play that had so much hype.
Especially, they played so well. They made Trevor Lawrence look like he shouldn't even be close to the Heisman conversation. They made that look like the worst number 1 team. Like, really, they played such great defense.
He's been pretty underwhelming, by the way.
I just would have liked to have seen them play some defense. Speaking of bad defense, Alabama, I know that they're still blowing teams out, but these are teams that they're favored by 35, 39. They're supposed to be destroying these teams, and week after week, bettors are getting really shellacked because Alabama's defense looks really sloppy. Vic, we were talking about this yesterday. Do you think that this is a cause for concern for Alabama?
I don't think it is, but there isn't that sort of killer instinct you were used to. You saw it on the offense. And then they ended up getting, was it a punt return touchdown, I think, at one point?
Yeah.
Or maybe it was all, yeah.
They returned something to the house.
Yeah, they returned something to the house. So you always get your Bama non-offensive touchdown there. But other than that, yeah, they were a little sluggish. They didn't know what to do with this kid Plumlee, the quarterback from Mississippi. I had no idea who this kid was. And just gaining chunk yardage, like play after play.
How do you spell Plumlee?
It's like the other Plumlee.
Really? Like the brothers Plumlee.
Maybe it's the long lost fourth Plumlee.
It's the same thing that I said to you 2 weeks ago when I don't remember who they played, but there was a kid that threw over 350 yards against them.
South Carolina.
Oh, yeah, it was South Carolina. Was it South Carolina? It was so long ago.
It was
but
just
yeah,
another
right.
kid that we gave
Southern
credit to.
It was Southern Miss.
Oh, no.
It was South Carolina.
South Carolina, yeah. It's like, should we be giving credit to these kids, or does the Alabama D just suck?
Yeah, I don't think it sucks, but I don't think there is as big of a concern in normal years. He's Mississippi, and they don't really get much respect in the SEC these days. You would have liked to have seen them hold them at least under, like, 24.
Yeah, 31's a lot of points. It's been a while since you've seen this, like, a Bama defense let up that many points, especially to, like, a 2-2 team. I do think, like, the gap between, like, Bama, Clemson, and the other, like, top-tier schools is not as distant as it's been in years past. You know, I think as we love this LSU team led by Joe Burrow. I think, like, them, Oklahoma, Ohio State,
don't forget my Wisco, Auburn Tigers.
Auburn. I mean, I think those teams are really right there.
I completely agree.
The college football play, I think I could really see it coming down to the wire this year. I mean, there was that year where Bama snuck in as the four. Was that two years ago?
2 years
and
ago.
And then they won it. Yeah. I mean,
Georgia. You mentioned Wisconsin, though.
Love Wisconsin.
And they got seriously backdoored this past weekend. And their defense looks a little shaky, too. They couldn't put up nearly as many points as you'd expect at home to. I get it, Northwestern, like, always a good defensive team, but they let up, I think, 15. How many points is it? 15 points?
Yeah. 15, and there was nothing was going on offense. I mean, John Taylor still got his 100 yards, but they could not get in. They had a wild, was it a pick six or a fumble six? This guy broke like six tackles and then just fell into the end zone. I don't even know how he did it. Like, the way they were getting their points yesterday was not what we saw 2 weeks ago against Michigan. So, if anyone's got concern, I think it's Wisconsin. You have these big games coming up. You have all your big Big Ten games coming up. And to me, there's a big concern there. I just didn't, yeah, the offense, I don't really know what was going on there. It's sort of like after Taylor, like what more do you have? And Northwestern.
Are you that concerned about Wisconsin?
I am. I think that they were totally out schemed.
If it's like a Colorado Arizona State game where we just were totally underestimating Northwestern.
Totally possible. But Northwestern did lose by 10 to Stanford. So, I can't really think that this Northwestern team is that good. They do have these slow ground and pound defensive battles, but I think that Wisconsin only scored like 10 points on offense. They had
a Taylor touchdown.
Touchdowns, and that's
definitely
not going to get it done against an Ohio State,
example. They get Kent State at home next week, so
watch out.
So that should be fun. The Kent State, I think like the Blue Hawks or some shit. But, I mean, Wisco is a ground-and-pound drag-out-the-game. They possess the ball more than any team in college football. So, I mean, low scoring, that's where they like it. I just think maybe we saw not, like, a better Wisconsin against Michigan. I mean, obviously better because they played Michigan but and schlacked them. But I think we saw a different type of Wisconsin like that week. It was, like, Taylor running over defenses. I mean, but I think this is more of the team. It's going to be dragged defensive grudge match.
It was 24-3 until Northwestern scored 9 minutes.
As you said, it was
a
backdoor.
It was a really bad backdoor. You saw they scored onside, kicked, recovered it, scored again. Really bad.
Who's the coach? Pat Fitzpatrick or something?
I believe so.
So some sick name. Scott Fitzpatrick? I don't know.
What's even weirder is that they onside kicked with like 8 minutes left and recovered it. Then when they were down 9 with 3 minutes left,
donut.
He kicked it deep.
yep.
He's
in their heads.
So crazy. Ohio State absolutely destroyed Nebraska. I think we all saw that coming, right? I think we all said that Ohio State was going to manhandle Nebraska. Did somebody not think so?
No, we all did. But I want to throw it out there. I'm done with the Scott Frost. Nebraska's back. I mean, we said it. UCF is a program, and I think it says more about what UCF is than Scott Frost because he's not there, and UCF is absolutely rolling. I don't buy this Nebraska. They stink. Scott Frost isn't that good. Until I see it, then I'll believe it. But Ohio State is rolling. I know we like to do our Heisman watch, but Justin Fields, this kid is unbelievable. Him and Jalen Hurts, I think they account for more touchdowns than anybody else in college football.
And we haven't mentioned him enough, by the way.
Fields.
100%. We have not.
Because this is classic Ohio State. They pad the beginning of the schedule. They kick the crap out of teams. But, I mean, there is something to be said when a guy could throw for 4 touchdowns and run for 2 touchdowns. Like, he is like another Jalen Hurts out there.
They also made Nebraska look, and I totally agree with you. This is just, we're thinking of the old Nebraska teams
history.
Where it's scary to go in and play there. And their fans were really booming. But Ohio State just made such quick work. this was it, they were it was never even close. It was what was it? 30 something to nothing at the half.
Yeah, it was you know, it was over before it started. And you know, this Ohio State, you know, has been doing exactly what they've been doing the last few weeks. And you could say their non-conference schedule is a bit soft. You know, who is Miami of Ohio? They only scored 5 points. They put up 76. You know, but now we are fully in conference mode, and Ohio State's going to show you who they are. And Auburn did more of the same with, who was it? Was it Mississippi State, I believe? They took care of business also. You know, this is sort of how you get, until you get into those meaty rivalry games, you got to beat who's in your conference. You got to shut the door on them fast. You know, Oklahoma, too. We're happy to see them come back. They were off last week. And they won 55-16 again. This is the conference play. You're beating who you have to play now. So now no longer these, well, we don't really know. They're playing teams like Western Michigan and Central Michigan and the Tennessee Martin. We should make Monroe. A list of like all of our favorite non-major Lamar. Conference teams.
It's like
their mascots.
It's like a single guy.
Bethune-Cookman is still.
Oh, I love Bethune.
That's
and the debate
name.
Between the Skyhawks and the Seahawks. We still have to look into that because I don't really know. I really don't know what the difference is.
I have no idea.
Seawolves. Hofstra's something.
It's the Hofstra.
Stony Brook Seawolves.
It is?
I think it's Stony Brook Seawolves.
Did you guys see that game? I don't remember who Stony Brook was playing, but I just saw a highlight on ESPN.
Football or basketball?
Yeah, football.
Football is going to say, I didn't know.
Yes, whatever. It's not worth it. You guys can go yeah, check it out in its own time. Top five. Let's discuss this. Who is in our top five? The AP rankings just came out, but I want to go around and talk about our individual top five.
Right, and the top five now, it's we got Bama at one, Clemson two, Georgia three, Ohio State four, and LSU five. So I think what happened there, LSU and OSU swapped?
This is Ohio State.
Well, oh, no, Bama,
sorry,
Bama's
OSU, yeah, OSU and LSU swapped, and Bama and Clemson swapped. So Bama has taken the reins number one.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's your top five. You know,
five.
So, yeah. Your top five. Yeah, Johnny, why don't you go? Lassie, why don't you get out here? I actually like this. I'm okay
it
with this
top
five.
Five.
Granted, Georgia had their bye week. So.
Somehow you're going to throw Auburn in here, so just get to it.
No, I mean, if I had Auburn last week, I'm damn sure going to have them again this week. I mean, this is not a knock to LSU. I just love the way Auburn is playing. So for me, it would just be Alabama, Clemson, Georgia. I do like Ohio State at four. I think that's fair at this point. And then Auburn five.
I think, yeah, Clemson almost lost, but they didn't. I think Clemson still has to be one. I didn't think Bama was, you know, overly convincing either. I don't know if I trust Jake Fromm. I mean, so that's like the one team in the top five right now that I'm like, but they've got some big boys. We were talking about it last week. They've got, what is it, the fattest O-line or something?
330 pounds on average.
A couple big boys.
Tell me.
I think maybe I'd move up Oklahoma in there.
To five?
Yeah, maybe to five and put Georgia at six. Swap Clemson and Bama. But, I mean, the list looks pretty fine to me.
I'm having a little trouble because I do think that this is serious recency bias, and Clemson just has not looked that great. Alabama, the defense is just not the same. Tua looks fantastic, but I don't really see a huge difference between Alabama and Oklahoma. Like, they're both giving up points on D, and if they can score that quickly, it's always been that's the problem. Do I think Alabama will wake up? Probably, yep. But as it stands right now, I don't think Alabama or Clemson. I don't think either of them should be one. I'm just trying to pick who I would jump.
But they have to be one because unfortunately these rankings include last year. Like it's like well, Saban's there, and you know, I mean, resume.
Yeah, right now, though, I think that I would put Ohio State or LSU at one. They've looked like far more complete teams. Is that crazy?
Yeah, I mean, what?
Who are you?
Whoa.
Are you Coach O's nephew?
Did you guys
That's
watch
not
these
just
games
a hot take. That is scorching
I just think,
towards
like, you
the equator.
Can't do it. Like, these are the two.
No,
like,
but, no,
these
you,
are the
no but that's what
teams,
I'm saying. You can.
It's just Bama and Clemson. That's what.
But they don't. I'm saying
nobody's played anyone good other than Auburn or Oregon. Wisco played Mish.
Auburn's played a lot of great teams. I don't know how they're not A&M. In the top five. No, but I'm just saying. I don't think.
I don't know either. By the way, Auburn's really good.
I just don't think that.
I'm not convinced. Am
it's
I
also
wrong?
The same reason why Nebraska, for whatever reason, people thought that they'd put up a fight because of the history of their programs.
But Nebraska's 3-2. Clemson, Bama and Clemson are. 4-0, 5-0.
I just think that there are better 5-0 teams.
Well, the truth is, until you
or at least it's closer.
Right, but like take Florida for example. I mean, Florida here is sitting at 10.
Why'd they bump back?
And I guess this is sort of where I could just say with teams that should be higher or lower.
Oh, I
mean,
love
if you have Florida at 10 at 5-0, you've Notre Dame at 3-1, you've Wisconsin 4-0. Like I would put almost Florida ahead of Wisconsin. The one thing that Wisconsin has the resume right now is the Michigan game, and now that Michigan came back to life and remembered who they were this week and beat Rutgers by 52. Now it looks like, okay, like Wisconsin still beat a very good, very tough Michigan team, and you do have to respect them. And that's another thing. Like, why is UCF ahead of Michigan? I'm not really sure there. I mean, you have Utah at 4-1, then you have Boise State at 16.
By the way, Boise, I was going to
bring
that up.
We say this
Boise
every
State.
Year. You like Boise State? You like
I mean,
Broncos?
It's been a while since
that fucking field.
The Smurf
the
turf.
My God.
The Smurf
it's
turf.
Been a while since we've seen the Boise, the Broncos.
We need one of those games, like the spotlight game.
They always get like a wide receiver to propose to their cheerleader girlfriend of Boise State. So I'm waiting for that. That's when the tide really turns, and that's when the Broncos take this thing to the next level. I'm excited for the Broncos and the Knights. Also, I love UCF. I really do. They score a ton of points.
I think it's more than respectable.
But watch out for, and we were saying this prior, but watch out for Iowa. We don't know much about them, but they just keep kicking the shit out of teams. But Penn State, that's really, Penn State, there's something going on over there.
Yeah, it's called Maryland is fucking terrible.
But 59-0 in Maryland, I mean, still.
Yeah, I went 3 years ago, my sister goes to Maryland, as you guys know.
We know that.
Story will be carved like in a little plaque next to his tombstone. By the way, went to a Maryland game.
It was.
In 2016. Yep.
By the way, was it against Purdue? It's
nope.
Oh, nope.
Always Purdue.
It was against the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Maryland was a 3-point favorite. Everybody said, can't lose. 48-0. I sat there and watched the Minnesota Golden Gophers
go up
win
and down
48.
And up.
This story has taken on a life of its own.
It really has.
Were you
unbelievable.
Were you in the stands?
I was on the Gophers.
By the way, you were riding a Gopher. You make your way to some random college football game.
I really do. But so, yeah, I guess you guys think that I'm smoking crack and don't think Alabama or Clemson belong 1-2. But I think that we should talk a little bit about some Heisman watch. Two of this week. 418 yards passing, 6 touchdowns. Just some quick highlights. Jalen Hurts, 413 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, rushing touchdown. Jonathan Taylor, 120 for.
And again, it should be noted, 20. I think he had 26 carries this week. It's like a true, like, feed him and don't stop feeding him until he's stuffed like a Thanksgiving turkey.
Yeah, no, they're really, they're pushing.
I'm already getting into my holiday
ready for November.
Metaphors. I'm there, baby.
It's fall.
Fuck October. This kid's jumping right into the end of November.
Oh, yeah.
Before we go into some spread pick-ems, you guys want to comment on any of those guys or anybody that you feel should be on our watch that isn't here right now?
I mean, this is just far and away right now. It is Tua's Heisman Trophy to lose. These constant 400-plus yard passing and 5 touchdown games, I'm going to keep saying it. Everybody has to. You have to start seeing who they are playing this month. They're going to have a lot of tests coming up. And if these numbers can stay even close to what they are now, I just don't think there's a chance he's losing. Far and away the favorite. I still do think, though, if Jalen Hurts can beat Texas in a couple of weeks in that big game and have a great performance, that he will have some kind of leg up. And then who knows? But until then, it's just Tua and everybody else.
By the way, we haven't spoken about DeVonta Smith. Just a quick shout-out. The guy had 11 receptions for 280 yards and 5 receiving touchdowns.
Yeah, he set a record.
Fucking insane.
He beat Amari Cooper's record.
That's
by
wild.
Like, he
beat wild.
A, yeah, he beat and Amari Cooper's singles
talk about
record
a favorite
by
target,
like the third quarter.
Right?
No, but that's exactly what it is. That's what they were saying. They're like, DeVonta Smith doesn't get enough love. He's great. So this week, we're going to show him love. And to a
the
literally.
Rock, paper, scissors.
The rock, paper, scissors.
It's a touchdown route. It's
by the way, if I'm the other team, I'm like, that's they're like doing rock,
dude,
paper,
like,
scissors.
Yeah,
who's
it's the same
with
like
touch.
Dak Prescott saying, ooh, spicy nuggets
it's
in
so
the huddle.
Embarrassing.
I do want to give, we mentioned Justin Fields. He's just another name to watch. I think Trevor Lawrence has been a bit underwhelming. But it was good to see, I mean, if you're a Clemson fan, that he didn't throw another interception yesterday.
Yeah.
So I think that number stays at 5 on the year. So 5 picks.
5 picks?
5 picks on the year, and he didn't throw one yesterday, but he's been a little underwhelming.
Just a little. Week 6, next week, some spread pick 'em. Iowa, that we don't know much about, at Michigan. Michigan's a 6.5-point favorite. Victor?
I do love what I saw Michigan last week against Rutgers, but at the end of the day, it is Rutgers. Iowa, we don't know, and they're the higher team coming in. They're number 14. Michigan, the big house. I can't take that many points with them. They haven't shown it yet. Iowa +6.5.
This is an interesting game, especially because we don't know who these Hawkeyes are. We refuse to do any research about this team. We know they have that children's hospital, which is one of the great traditions in college football, waving in the children's hospital. I've seen this song and dance from Michigan year after year. This is where they pick it up. This is where they begin to beat some decent wins. So, you know what? I think in the big house, Michigan -6.5.
I have not seen a good win out of Michigan yet, and while I don't know anything about Iowa, I know that they are not Michigan, so I will be taking the points with Iowa. Auburn at Florida. Florida is a home dog, +2. Vic, you're Auburn Tigers.
I'm just licking my chops. Yeah, I was waiting for this game. One, for two reasons I'm excited about this game. One is because watching Auburn on the road in these SEC games is a sight. For you to watch at home. If you are a fan who doesn't really know much about SEC and how hard it is to win on the road, watch Auburn because they're going to do it this time. This is an Auburn -2. And the second thing, so the first thing I'm excited is just see Auburn on the road because they get some great victories, really silence the crowd. The second thing, are we going to find out if Florida is for real? If I am wrong, it means they are for real, unless Auburn wins by 1 point. But I don't think that's happening. So I'm excited for that to see. I would love to see the Gators prove me wrong, but I just don't think it's going to happen this week.
Wow, you're a huge dick. Fuck the Gators. I'm also on the Auburn -2. Does Auburn get any home games? I feel like all they do is play on the road.
They will have Alabama at the end of the season.
So, yep. War Eagles, baby.
War Eagle.
I'll keep going.
Did you make a pick?
I said Auburn -2. Oh, I like it. Okay. But yeah, Trask.
War Eagle.
Is it Kyle Trask?
This is his biggest game today.
Sounds like a fake
his
name.
Biggest
it
game.
Is a fake name. He's not real. They just picked him up off the street.
He's a hologram.
Auburn looks really, really good. It's never fun to ditch when you have 3 points with a home team that's a great defense. It's always tempting. 2 points is really just a pick 'em. So if that line moved up to 3, 3.5, you think about Florida, but at 2, I take Auburn by a field goal. Michigan State at Ohio State. This is an embarrassing line to me. Ohio State is -18 at home against a Michigan State team that is always supposed to be good. Vic, thoughts?
Right. I think Michigan State would have a puncher's chance, as we like to say, if they were at home. But even being at home last week to Indiana and the score is 40-31. Don't be fooled by that. It was 31-31. Michigan State kicked a field goal, and then they picked up a lateral in the end zone, scored a touchdown. That's why they won by 9 points. It was really it was a Hoosier game the whole way. Michigan State doesn't have it this year. They really don't. I think this line is appropriate. I wouldn't be surprised if it gets all the way up to 20 or 20.5. And I would still go with Ohio State. The way that they're playing right now, it's almost impossible to bet against them.
I agree. Ryan Day, Justin Fields, they've got some magic up there. I think they're going to cover. That offense is super explosive. And this Michigan State defense is not what it's been in years past. Usually that's like their M.O. What's his name? D'Antonio?
Mark D'Antonio.
Mark D'Antonio.
I mean, it's a boneheaded coaching decision.
But he's usually like a defensive mastermind, and I just don't see it this year. So Indiana gave him a hard time, and I think Ohio State's going to take him around back and show him how to play a little football.
And this is not a knock on ASU at all. I think that Arizona State is a well-coached team. They're a great team. If you lose to a Pac-12 team at home, you're definitely having some problems. I know this is a new Pac-12, but Michigan State should not score 7 points on Arizona State, especially when we saw that Arizona State can give up 30-plus to, who is it, Colorado?
Colorado.
Go Buffs.
I think that Ohio State is way too good.
Boulder,
right now.
Baby.
By the way, I love doing that. I love just throwing like
go Buffs.
Yeah, just like throwing any for
Buffs.
Sun Devils, ASU. We get
those
it.
Are my dogs.
We get it. You know their mascot.
Go Buffs.
Yep, this is game of the week.
Yeah, this is the game of the week.
Let's get to the game of the week pick, baby.
Virginia Tech at Miami. Miami, God, -11.5. You'd have to be fucking high to take
what do you think I'm doing?
Of course, you're gonna say no. Let's just take him to win. You're not gonna even comment on the spread. But after you,
no. I when we said the spread, how is it 11.5? I think Virginia Tech had a bad week. But
Virginia Tech lost to Duke at home by 35.
I know, really. Bad.
So
really.
If you want to know who's having a bad week,
but this is a rivalry game and it's always pretty tight. My sources are telling me Hard Rock is going to be rocking. I think Trayvon Hill. The defensive end on Miami, he transferred from Virginia Tech. He's going to be a beast out there. I expect a lot of penalties on him. But I got Miami, but Virginia Tech plus 11.5. That's a lot of points.
No, I'm taking Miami by 2 touchdowns.
Fuck yeah,
Virginia Tech has shown me absolute zero. And I don't really care that Michigan State had a hard time with a strong fighting Central Michigan Chippewa team a couple weeks ago. Miami played them.
Yeah.
Central Michigan a couple weeks ago, and they had a tough time with them.
You said Michigan State.
Michigan is what I said, the Chippewas.
Okay.
And they played them two weeks ago.
Keep going, yeah.
And
we got a bye week.
Miami is a bye week. They're at home now. You know, this is going to be a big, big game for Brevin Jordan. He's going to have a ton of catches.
Pick. Will Mallory?
I think he's going to have a big game. Couple of TDs. Jaron Williams, an absolute get-right spot against the Hokies. 3:30 on Saturday. Hard Rock. Damn right it's going
to
be Rock.
By the way, little tidbits. I don't even want to jinx it, but knock on wood, Jaron Williams has yet to throw an interception. Knock on wood again.
Oh, there you go.
Fuck.
He's going to throw a pick six.
But he's a name to watch when we talk about ACC quarterbacks. Just saying, he's really good.
Sure.
What do you think?
I'm definitely taking Virginia Tech with the points. I do think Miami wins. What I will say is I'm always critical of Miami just because I don't feel like they ever cover. But I was overly critical of them to start the year because I didn't realize how real this UNC team actually is, because UNC went toe-to-toe with Clemson at home. So really, that three-point loss doesn't seem nearly as bad anymore. The Central Michigan close game is a quite embarrassing
one. That
was
scary.
But they did win, and so I do think the Miami wins. I think that 11.5 points, though, is just way too many.
We should go down and spend a lot of money on tickets.
This is the game that we should pick.
I'll buy tickets, and I'll tell you what section, and you'll buy in a different
row. This is the game that we should pick.
Yeah.
NBA is what, 3 weeks away?
Yep. Ooh, we're excited.
That's crazy.
I know.
The summer really just flies. It's like you have the finals, you wake up, all of a sudden you're at the regular season.
Bring on the cold.
Don't say that to Brian Windhorst, because he was just in this guy doesn't stop. I mean,
no, it's actually the only sport that truly does not stop
360,
anymore.
24/7, 365.
Fully 360.
Jump into it.
But so media day in Brooklyn and L.A., I'm sure that you guys saw KD and Kyrie. Really, those guys, what a bunch of losers. I mean, I guess it's coming from a sour Knicks fan. But they look like they're best friends. They look like they've been best friends forever. Do we buy that this love is real, as they say?
I think it's 100%. I'm not really sure where it kind of started. I know that they played together in Team USA. Were they on the team in 2016 in the Olympics? Were they both on the same team?
Yeah.
Maybe then they started bonding. I'm not sure what's going on there. You had KD said, let me go get my rings. Kyrie's got a ring with Cleveland, which is kind of crazy to say that anybody has a ring with Cleveland these days, but it happened, and Kyrie was an integral part of that team. I think these guys they're at the point where they were on different teams. They've got the ring. Let's do it together. Let's start something in Brooklyn. Unfortunately, we're not going to get to see KD in action. We are getting robbed of a year because of his horrible, gruesome injury that happened in the finals. You know, clearly they're not rushing him back because they've already said he's not playing this year. I think the love's there. Kyrie's also got that's had some bad injuries over the years. You know, it's very easy for these guys to, once they realize how good they are, to just be like, all right, you're really good. I'm pretty fucking good too. Like, let's do something.
The love is there. I agree. I'm not so sure where this started because they did go toe to toe in the finals. But there's a clear admiration of each other. But when the season starts, I mean, if KD's not there, it's Kyrie's team. We'll see how it goes. And you know what solidifies like a love? That's rings. And these guys are talking about bringing multiple rings to Brooklyn. I wonder what you guys think. I think they could do it like in 2 years. Sean Marks is building a really nice squad around them. They're really well coached. The new facility looks amazing. They just grabbed Lance Thomas, the former Knick captain.
Of course. Once again, Karis someone LeVert, who used to play for the Knicks just goes to a great team.
DeAndre Jordan is like the odd man. I think that was like they had to get him, but you have Jared Allen, this young guy. I just think they
definitely have size.
They have size. Those are some big boys. But I don't know how he fits other than just being Kyrie and Kevin Durant. What is this trio that they're rolling around with?
This is a very difficult conversation for me. The same way that you're a strong-headed Miami Hurricanes fan.
Who, me?
It's just, hearing Kevin Durant this week say that he never for a second even considered the Knicks was just like, what kind of bullshit does the media feed us on a daily basis that Vegas said that he was a lock? Like, it just doesn't make...
Well, at least we know why he was looking at real estate.
Just
here.
None of this makes any sense.
Yeah. Playing Madison Square Garden.
What idiots we are.
It's crazy. And the
He's looking at buying a condo!
He's coming!
And Kyrie, 72nd Street. Like, yeah.
Oh, remember that?
Yeah, everyone.
Sending his kids to Rodef.
Just unbelievable. And do I think that they're going to win a ring? No. I think that first of all, I think that Kyrie Irving is one of the most overrated point guards in the league.
Come on.
No, seriously. I don't think that there's, I really don't. And I think that we'll see it with this Celtics team.
He apologized yesterday. Did you see that? He apologized, said he let the Celtics down as a leader.
Yeah, because he's a schmuck.
He shouldn't have said, I'm not leaving. He shouldn't have said that.
He's a schmuck. And I really feel that the Celtics are going to do far better with Kemba Walker than they did with Kyrie Irving. Of course, the team is a little bit better. You can't discount the fact that you have Al Horford there, and it's just like a sort of a different squad. But I don't see them necessarily winning rings. Maybe that's just a hope, but I don't see them winning rings. Moving on to the Lakers, though, who I definitely think are winning rings. LeBron could not contain his excitement about Anthony Davis. They were saying that every single play should go through Anthony Davis. And I don't know if you guys saw this interview, but when they mentioned that to AD, he's like, wow, really? LeBron said that? Like, sort of like he was a fan of LeBron, which I thought was kind of cool.
Dude, you fucking blow.
Yeah, because you're over here as a Knicks fan saying that you're a Nets fan. Fuck you.
How am I a Nets fan?
Because you're saying, oh, they'll probably win some rings. No, they won't.
I think they'll get a ring in 2 years. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, there's a difference between recognizing
also,
reality.
Also, I'm not going, ooh, it was so cute when Anthony Davis
it was.
That
is, it was so cute. You don't like Anthony Davis?
I want to pinch his cheeks.
You don't like Anthony Davis?
I like Anthony Davis.
What's wrong with him?
I like Anthony Davis.
No, you don't like LeBron. That's fine.
I don't like LeBron,
but I'm
scared of this team. And I think it was either in the same interview when they were both being interviewed, Anthony Davis said he and LeBron handpicked, like, had say in each of the transactions this summer. They got some guys. I mean, Danny Green, great, really good 3-and-D guy, just won a ring. Avery Bradley, another good 3-and-D guy who kind of fell off after his time in Boston. He's been a bit of a journeyman lately, most recently with the Clippers, I believe, but or the Grizzlies. But I mean, this team.
It was the Clippers.
This team looks really good, and one thing you're right about, Ben, is LeBron and AD are happy, and that's really all that matters. Because when those two are happy, they could do anything. So I'm terrified of this team. And Dwight Howard's there, number 38. Not sure what the fuck he's doing. He has the weirdest haircut I've ever seen. But it's an odd team, but they've got some shooters. Last year, LeBron was surrounded by Lance Stephensons and Michael Beasley and ball dominant guys who can't shoot the three. You get 1 year, you add some 3-and-D guys. I think Pelinka now he's the GM, right? What is it? Now he's the president. Like,
do you mean
president
Rob
of basketball operations? Rob Lowe. No, because Jeannie Bosch.
Yeah, but they're doing a good job now that Magic's out of the picture. So
yeah,
Magic
being
more.
Out's great. This doesn't really change my thoughts about them going into the season. I mean, once you hear that LeBron and AD are joining forces, it's sort of like, get me a new pair of shorts because I just crap my pants.
Is that what that smells?
And how...
I thought you could not have
a reaction like that? Not saying that I did. Or that you should. But
Did you shit your pants or not?
I just, you know, to this day, I don't even know what it was. I think I heard a noise. But be that as it may, this doesn't really change anything. I like that the West is actually a bit spread out this year. I'm looking forward to so many other teams. Houston, I'm looking forward to see Damian Lillard continue to blossom up in Portland. Up in Portland as if I'm in L.A.
Like, continue to blossom. He's like a vet.
Just signed a $200 million contract. He's not a vet. He's the highest paid player in the NBA.
But vet to me all of a sudden gives you like this like sort of old label.
Like drafted
like
in
your
like
old
2013.
News. I know, but like veteran. I understand like Kendall, you're a veteran. You've been in the league for 5 years.
You don't think Damian Lillard's a veteran?
I think veteran carries on that connotation of like you're getting old.
He is.
Like, by the way, you like, want to know getting old?
What is he? How old is he? 28.
I think he's old. But you want to feel old? Kyrie Irving is entering his ninth season.
Yeah, ninth season of mediocrity.
Oh, shut up. I don't mediocrity. Like Kyrie.
Sure.
Cleveland would not have a ring without him.
Agreed.
But speaking of like other ring.
Or Kevin Love.
Yeah, but other people hungry for rings, really the Rockets, I'm
or
really
RJ.
Looking forward to. And so it doesn't really change my thought of the Lakers. I think they are right now just given that Klay Thompson's on the shelf for the time being, that Lakers are, if you do like a quick power rankings, the Lakers are the biggest, you know, threat.
Do you have them as number one?
Yeah, I would have them there.
Do you think they're going to have the best record in the West?
I don't. I think,
neither do I.
I think it will be Houston.
So do I.
And you can already cash my chips on the Houston train. I'm buying property down there.
I like this Houston team.
I mean, Westbrook, James Harden, like that is the team I want to see. KD and LeBron. I mean, AD and LeBron. Go screw yourself because it's not gonna be fair. It's really just not gonna be fair. And when you have teams like Houston and Clippers, Golden State Warriors, let's not forget D'Angelo Russell is a hell of a stud. And it's still a damn good team in Golden State.
I'm so pumped. This West is so good and so deep. Like the fact that the Kings and the Spurs might not make the playoffs is wild.
The Kings, another
Portland.
Young team.
I heard somebody leave Portland out.
Portland.
I mean, this team was the 3 seed last year. I mean, and made the Western Conference Finals. I'm super pumped.
Super pumped. Can't wait for the NBA season. Quickly want to mention something that I thought was very interesting that you mentioned to me, Jack. The new G League.
The new G League
free throw rule, which I heard this. I was so like,
weird.
What the hell is this? One shot for 2 or 3 points, depending on the foul. So
how
if you shoot a two and you get fouled, you get a free throw that's worth 2 points.
Yeah.
Same thing for 3-pointers.
Yeah, it's
I can't imagine that this transitions into the NBA, but they keep trying to speed up the game, and this certainly speeds up the game. It's just...
But, like, then would the player who, like, passed it to him and got fouled, would he get the assist then? Because
you don't
like,
get an assist.
Because I always used to say when a player goes, if he hits both free throws, like, shouldn't he get the assist? Like,
no.
He got the 2 points.
No.
Now it's like a shot.
No,
it's like a field goal.
I definitely don't think that he gets the assist, but I think that this actually puts big men at a serious disadvantage. I think that there's always...
How many times, you know, it's 50-50.
No, I know, but that's true. But in my eyes, it's always, if you're a bad free throw shooter, you line it up, you miss the first, you see what you did wrong, and sometimes you make the second. I don't know. There's also so much pressure
on that one shot.
These guys with the huge clammy hands.
I don't like this. I don't like this.
It sounds like
rule.
A backyard, like feels, school type of rule.
It feels like that
one
big,
shot.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't baseball implement like the walk? You just say if you want to walk a guy.
Yeah, you just point.
It feels like, which is bizarre. It feels weird.
And because we've also seen some like intentional walks where like
gone awry. Love that.
And then there was that one. I think it was like 8 years ago where like someone actually swung at it and hit it because the guy
missed
target. I don't remember when that was. I think it was maybe Miguel Cabrera.
But
I'm dating myself.
But what I hate about this rule especially is it ruins all the stats. I love the stats of guys
percentages.
Yeah, 40, 50, 90 club. I mean, gone.
Yeah.
It's
the same thing with baseball where, like, you should shorten the season, but then, like, every record ever is compromised.
Absolutely.
And especially with football, if people want to make 18-game seasons. Like, changing these rules. I understand it's the G League. You have the D League. You have the G League. It's just, like, sort of, like, 2 steps away.
D League is the G League.
It's just now owned by Gatorade.
I always thought like the G League was like part of like a farm system.
No, it was. It was the D League until Gatorade decided to sponsor it, and now it's the G League.
That's why it's
same
the G League. I was always trying to understand
your mind was just blown.
I was trying to understand what the G stood for. I was like, is it growth? Because like the players are, you know, they've been sent. I thought it was like in baseball, sent down to like AA instead of AAA. Well, I learned something today.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's what we do here at the Schwitz. We educate.
Teaching.
We really
knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power.
The more you know.
Knowledge is power. The NBA season's around the corner, but we're really in the thick of it in baseball. So I know, Jack, it's a huge downer.
This is it, baby. Huge playoffs.
I love it.
But we need to talk about baseball. First of all, Pete Alonso, boy of the Schwitz, 53 home runs, rookie record, broke Judge's record. Oh, my goodness. Hell of a year.
Hell of a year.
Really, it's just...
I'm happy for him. Happy for the Mets, too, because we never knocked the Mets on this podcast. We were always rooting for them. We were really... Even though we're all Yankee fans, we were really on their bandwagon. And, like, you really couldn't be. How could you not with a guy like Pete Alonso leading the charge? 53 is a lot for a rookie.
I hear he's a really sweet guy. I haven't met him yet. I know you guys met
him. We chatted.
He's very nice and massive. He is enormous.
And I love that Judge was so congratulatory to the fellow New Yorker.
And as huge Yankees fans, I just have to say, what Pete Alonso did, in my opinion, is so much more impressive given the ballpark that he plays in, Yankee Stadium. the short porch is it's far easier to hit home runs.
Sluggers and Park.
Pete Alonso, these are not short home runs.
And they have like weird sized walls up in left field and center field, right field. None of them are all the same.
And also, how annoying is that? That there's the wall and there's the home run line.
Right.
So you can hit homers.
Yeah, we were actually at a game where like somehow
just bangs off the wall. You're like, isn't that a double?
Yeah,
no, it's a home run.
The game we were at, like the umpire who was like right around second base, like easily made the call. He's like, yep, that was that. And we're like, How did you see that?
Literally, I have no idea. But so the Mets missed the playoffs.
What a mess.
They missed the playoffs, fought really, really hard. The NL is good. The wild card race is
And it
is
was
strong.
It was look, it was a mountain that they were gonna have to climb if they were even gonna have a shot at this. And they did have a shot. And what did it got to? I think 2.5 was the closest they ever got. Maybe even 2 games, depending on if they had played earlier in the day and technically you get that half game for the other West Coast. But look, the Brewers got in there. I don't know how they
rallied behind Yelich's injury. It's amazing. He went out and they won, 11 of 12?
Yeah, they went 11 and 2, I heard. Yeah, that's actually something that I caught up on.
The 11 and 13, that was close.
11 and 13. 11 over, yeah. That's wild to lose Yelich and rally behind an injury like that. I mean, I don't know where the points are coming from.
Is the Hebrew Hammer still on the Brewers?
Yeah, he is.
So in baseball, we call them runs. We don't call them points. All right. Very nice.
I don't know where the...
Touchdown!
Go Jets!
That's funny. The Cubs part ways with Joe Maddon. The Cubs have become a staple over the last 10 years. They went from, Jesus Christ, the Cubs are miserable. They can't do anything.
108 years without a World Series.
To being a staple. We always expect the Cubs either to be in the World Series or the least win their division, and they're not even.
Well,
they really shat the bed.
Yeah, no,
they did the polar
end.
Opposite.
But they were in the race, and I guess Theo Epstein really just didn't really saw something else. I mean, this is a guy who's won two. He's been in the front office of two franchises that went 80 plus years without World Series: the Red Sox and the Cubs. The guy's an absolute mastermind with numbers, and. People always say, play the Billy Bean, Oakland A's style front office business perspective with putting crunching numbers and translating onto the field. If he thought it was time, I guess it was time. I guess Joe thought it was time. I'm thinking back to Joe Maddon, you think Tampa Bay Rays immediately. That charge you love with that team. He even had a freaking mohawk. Remember the mohawk craze?
Was he there for the 03 team? Is that what it was?
No. It was 08, I think, when they were playing the Red Sox. That was when David Price was
Marlins. I think I'm thinking Marlins.
Yeah, you're thinking of the Marlins. That was Jack McKeon.
That was the height of your baseball fan.
But
it was Marlins.
I was a big Marlins guy.
Yeah, big fish guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Joe Maddon, how many years has he been managing in the league? It's got 20,
he was 5 with the Cubs.
At least. Yeah. At least 20. He's a savvy vet. And this Cubs team, is this it? Do we think that they get a new manager? Is this the Terry Francona switches over?
The Cubs have gone crazy. They
get rid of their tenured manager.
They're going to let that dog in the uniform manage. There's always a dog in a Cubs uniform at these games.
So just take my good question, shit all over it. That's what we're doing.
He's actually the front runner for the job.
Wait, have you heard Terry Francona?
Tito?
Did you say that as if he might be going to the Cubs? Because that's kind of interesting, the Theo Epstein Francona.
No, I think he was saying the end of his run.
Terry Francona was the Red Sox of old's manager. He came to the end of his run.
Went
the Red
the
Sox
end, yeah.
replaced
oh, okay.
him.
Well,
he won the World Series.
Yeah, he won 2 or 3 rings, I think, though, with the Red Sox. But granted, when the Cubs won, it was did hell just freeze over? Because nobody ever thought that was going to happen.
Same with the Red Sox.
Yeah.
So it's a great comparison. But Chris Bryant, who the fuck else is on that team?
Yeah, Rizzo.
Thank you.
Hayward.
Anthony Rizzo.
Is Hayward
Contreras.
Still
yeah.
Baez.
Javi Baez.
Right,
that was
good.
Nice. I'm just saying, that team and then the pitching. Really, the pitching was the problem. Mm-hmm. We should really be talking about, is John Lester
done?
Because he really crapped the bed.
It's John Lester's story. If you've never really heard about John Lester's story, he used to have cancer. Then he was pitching for the Red Sox, got some rings there. His story is incredible. He wasn't even supposed to be on a field. So all the credit in the world to him. If this is the end of a run to him, tip your cap. Take a bow, sir, because you were a pleasure to watch. Great pitching. I mean, it sucked when he was on the Red Sox and shutting down the Yankees. But, all the credit in the world to John Lester. And look, if this is the end of the Cubs, they got their ring. All right, who cares? They waited 100 years. They got it. I'm sorry if you never got a chance to see it if you were a Cubs fan, but just appreciate you got one.
Definitely. And they're not calling it like a firing. It's more of a parting of ways. So like a mutual end. I mean, Joe Maddon will always be heralded as a god in Chicago. Also, like we were talking about, the tints, like the Harvey Keitel tints. I mean, he's cool as hell.
Very cool guy. Transitions. But yeah.
I think they're always just tinted.
Are they not transition lenses?
Wait, what are you talking about?
Joe Maddon's glasses? Aren't they the Keitels?
I think they might be
the Yordi Stibbs. Yep. Joe Maddon, cool. This was coming. So I kind of, we'll see him probably in the booth next season. I mean, he's really well-spoken, and everyone loves having him around. He also brought, like, that aspect to the Cubs.
It's always nice when you know a manager's retiring. It's like, I would love to see this guy on TV.
Yeah, because also he was big into, like, educating the players. I know he implemented some, like, team bonding activity.
He was old school.
He was an old-school guy. Cool cat, as we like to call it. Real cool cat.
Madden's out, but you know who's in? I mean, I guess we don't really know who's in, but we're assuming.
As
of now, let's first talk about the National League Brewers at the Nationals for the wild card spot. I'm sure that all of our listeners know, but in case you don't, wild card is one game, or like it's just nuts.
That's it.
It's one single game and
one shot any given Sunday.
And they call it the postseason, Tuesday. But really it's to play in the postseason.
It's like the play-in game for the NCAA tournament.
So, question for you: one game. Who pitches for the Nationals? Strasburg
I believe it'll be Strasburg.
It's not Scherzer
or Scherzer.
Oh, oops.
Probably Scherzer. But Scherzer has had kind of a. It's been a little iffy. Pitchers haven't been released yet, so we don't know. But we can assume.
But who do you think?
I think it's going to be Max Scherzer. The guy is an absolute stud. He's had a kind of rough second half of the year, but he's a Cy Young winner every year.
Like,
amazing.
I feel like they're always in the wild card game.
They are.
They've been winning the division. But I don't know. For some reason, it just feels like. Or no, it's that they always play the Dodgers. Is that what it is?
I don't know. I just said they are, but to Jack's point, they always win the division, so they're not. But
they're
quickly,
the best expansion team. They were the Expos, right? That's so dope. I think they were the
truth is they're just always in the playoffs, and it's fun. But I always think it's funny. We're talking about pitchers now. You know, you have this one wild card game, and then you're playing again 2 days later.
Yep.
And I don't know how you really manage. I think the A's tried to do this against the Yankees last year. They went with like a bullpen strategy, and we're going to pitch like six different guys. Didn't work out. Yankees won 7-2. It was a great day. And it's great that the Yankees don't have to play in that wild card game this year. But to me, it's such a hard decision for managers. It'd be great to know how, you know, Joe Maddon would approach this. But, you know, I'm not really sure how you do it. And you have the Rays and the A's in the AL. I like the A's in that one.
Battle of the small budgets. I mean, that's wild.
The smallest budget in baseball is
both
the Rays.
Both of them. And then probably the A's right afterwards.
Quickly, because we're running out of time, I do just want to go around and say who we think is winning each game. The NL, I think that the Nationals take this pretty handedly. I think that the Brewers story is a really great one. But they've rallied around the fact that the Nationals have rallied around the fact that they lost Bryce Harper, and they don't really give a shit. This team is fucking awesome. They don't do it with the long ball. They are just great hitters, great pitchers. And then I'm sorry, Athletics. I think that the Rays have the best pitching staff in baseball, and they're so fucking motivated. I like the Nats and the Rays.
I'll just chime in here before Victor gives probably a more educated guess. I like the pitching from the Nats. The bullpen's a little weak, I know that. But I think in one game, you could get a bunch of innings out of either Scherzer or Strasburg, so I think that'll do it. Rays, A's, Billy Bean, that athletic stadium. I mean, it's a weird place to play. I don't know much about either team, but the Athletics, I like their colors.
Yeah, I'm right with you, Jack. I also just like home teams in these games. You have one game, one shot. Everything's on the line.
One opportunity.
Yeah, one moment.
To risk everything you ever wanted.
Mom's spaghetti.
M&M. But, when you're at home, you have your fans behind you. Everybody in the stadium knows that this is make or break. I'd like to go with both the home teams, Nats and E's.
We'll dive more into baseball next week. Super excited. Playoffs right around the corner. What a time. Well, that's our show, folks. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, I'm Ben at Boy With No Job.
I'm Vic at VWeb.
And I'm Jack at Jack Not John.
Please remember to follow us on Instagram at The Schwitz. Tons of great content there. Our private Facebook group, The Schwitzers, waiting for you to join. Tons of great conversation in there. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast super important. Next week in our NFL Schwitz episode, we'll update you guys on Survivor. We're going to update you guys on Fantasy. Tons of great stuff coming down the pipeline. Thank you guys so much, and see you soon.
Happy New Year to the Jews.
Ooh, true. Shana Tova.
Happy Honey Day.